October 31st, 2012, Vrindavan, India, Nectar of Devotion, Chapters 17 and 18, Part 2. All right, so we talked about the eligibility for Bhava Bhakti, contrasting that with the eligibility for Raghunuga Bhakti, and we talked about the fact that we've reiterated what we've been saying many, 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 many times, that these stages are not necessarily so easy to define, and that even a person dealt with stuff at the end of chapter 18, that it sometimes may happen that even a person at Bhava Bhakti has a brief accidental difficulty. Okay, how do you get to Bhava Bhakti? So you get to Bhava Bhakti in three ways. The first two ways are very related. You get to Bhava Bhakti by rigid practice of devotional service in the constant association of pure devotees. And that rigid practice can be in Vaidhi Bhakti. The example was given of Narada, who was serving the sages. Why was he serving the sages? Out of duty. Some sages come to your house, you're supposed to serve them. And the other example was the girl who danced all night. So that's Raghunuga Bhakti. She said, I'm going to dance all night for the service of the Lord, and that way she attained to Bhava. So that is the general way that one attains to Bhava. Either rigid practice of Vaidhi Bhakti or rigid practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. In the association, in the constant association of pure devotees. By the way, constant association of pure devotees, does that mean that you take a handcuff and handcuff yourself to a pure devotee and take them with you wherever you go?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. After we leave here, everybody, you find some rope and you tie yourself. No. What does that mean, constant association of pure devotees?
Hearing.
Remembering. Okay. Remembering, following the instructions of, etc. Okay, another way that you can come to Bhava is through special mercy. Prabhupada compares it to an honorary degree where somehow or other Krishna or the pure devotees immediately bring you to Bhava. And they can do that through their good wishes. That can happen by glancing. And this example of glancing has to do with what you brought up about people in Vaidhi Bhakti and Krishna Leela who aren't yet okay, here. We are when the inhabitants of Jalandhar province saw the personality of Godhead Krishna, they were so stricken with feeling they could not withdraw their glance from him. So that's an example of somebody who either has no progress in bhakti or very little progress in bhakti, and somehow by seeing Krishna, by glancing at Krishna, they immediately come to Bhava. And then there's also speaking. So if someone says, may you come to Bhava, please come to Bhava. I hope that person comes to Bhava. So that's possible. Now, Prabhupada says we should always expect Krishna's mercy, but we shouldn't go through our lives just, da-da-da-da-da-da, someday Krishna's going to give me his mercy and I'll be at Bhava, da-da-da-da-da. So, that's not very intelligent. Okay, the symptoms of Bhava. Actually, no, before we discuss that, let's talk about reflection and shadow. So, reflection and shadow, just like someone at Bhava may accidentally, briefly display some fall down, so going in the other direction, sometimes there's two kinds of people here. One is somebody who's really executing bhakti seriously, but their purpose is karma or gyan. They're actually karma covered bhakti or gyan covered bhakti. They're not an uttama bhakti. And that kind of person, by association with a pure devotee, can get a reflection of bhava. They can get a reflection of bhava. Then there's a person who's not really serious. They're just curious. They come to the kirtan party. They happen upon the Rath Yatra. Something. And they, by association with a pure devotee, can get a shadow of bhava. Okay, so there's a shadow or a reflection. A reflection is usually stronger, more clear than a shadow. Now, what Prabhupada says here is that people with either a shadow or a reflection can come, okay. Now he says this is very flickering, the shadow or reflection of bhava, it just lasts for a moment. And he says if while having this shadow or reflection of bhava, all material pangs disappear, you can call it transcendental. Although it's just a shadow or reflection. And he says it can develop if one associates with pure devotees or visits holy places. And if an ordinary man performs devotional service, they can come to the level of pure devotion. And okay. Where is it specifically? All right, the bottom of page 140, Prabhupada talks about how you can get this shadow or reflection and go from that to real devotional service. That can then blossom into real devotional service. We talked about this yesterday. Then Prabhupada also says that even if you have real attachment and real bhava, if you offend the pure devotee, it will decrease. And he said it will decrease like the waning of the moon. Important point, it doesn't happen suddenly. It happens gradually. I think of it like a big tree. If you stop watering it, it gradually dies. It doesn't immediately die. In one sense, my mother was gradually dying over 15 years, but the last 3 months of her life, she wasn't able to eat. Now, if you stop eating, you don't die in 2 seconds. Even if you stop drinking water, you don't die in 2 seconds. She got to a point she could only drink like maybe a cup of water a day. But she lasted for 3 months like that. And the nurses told me that, you know, if you go without drinking water entirely, you can live for 10 days even. So if you offend the devotees, you may not immediately like poof, fall off a cliff. And we see that if people offend devotees, their attachment to Krishna gradually wanes until it becomes, at last, Prabhupada says, become dark. Till it at last becomes dark. So one should be very careful. Or Prabhupada says, sometimes if you offend devotees, your bhava can turn into impersonalism. So your attachment can disappear, or it can become impersonalism. Then Prabhupada also mentions a situation where a neophyte very quickly comes to real bhava. And he says that is because of?
Previous life.
So this was a situation with Bilvamangala Thakur. After Chintamani said, why don't you worship Krishna? He very, very quickly achieved the bhava that he had had in a previous life. So sometimes you can't say, oh, you've only been chanting Hare Krishna for 2 weeks, it can't possibly be real. No, it could be. You could be chanting Hare Krishna for 2 weeks and have real bhava. That is possible, depending on where you were in a previous life. All right. Going on to, any questions on this? Going on to what are the symptoms of bhava, and mostly we're going to be doing that tomorrow. I'm going to give you some time for this today. So the main symptoms of bhava is that your heart gets very, very soft and that you start experiencing the sattvika bhavs. Especially Prabhupada mentions trembling and crying. and your heart is softening. Because remember in the Bhagavatam it says, even if you're trembling and crying, but your heart doesn't soften. But your heart is your heart softens very easily. As soon as you have any association with Krishna, your heart just melts. And Prabhupada says that you may not be shivering and crying all the time, but it happens very easily. And then he says it internalizes. That you, even if you're not displaying it externally, it internalizes. And one starts becoming absorbed in Krishna's pastimes internally. All right, well, there's a problem with this. If we're going to define soft-heartedness, melting heart, and shivering and crying as the main symptoms of bhava, what are the two problems with this?
It can be imitated.
It can be imitated. There are actors. Everybody has seen some drama or movie in their life, and they're actors. They can display anything. One show they're a murderer, next show they're a saint, and right? And they know how to cry. I remember we were filming the Ramayana in New Vrindavan, and Nisinghananda Prabhu, he was saying, you know, in a movie, he said, in a theater, in a play, you're far away, but in a movie, the camera can go on the person's face, and subtleties, you know, they're going on the person's face, and the person just goes... And you understand some whole meaning from little. Actually, there's a whole science that some police officers have developed where you can tell what someone's emotions are by the tiniest changes in their facial muscles. And I actually had some training when I was learning some things about teaching and communication where we were trained to notice slight changes in a person's skin color or slight differences in their eye movements and things like this. So the actors, they know how to imitate this kind of thing. And there are people who do this. Either they do it because they want to fool the public. I mean, look, if you really want to fool the public, pretend to be a religious person. Right? If you really want to cause damage to God, pretend to be a religious person, you know, and fool the people in the name of religion. So there are people who they figure, you know, if I really want to get name and fame, I'll pretend to be a saint. And they practice it maliciously, deviously. And then there are people who are just foolish and they think that if they just practice crying all the time, then they'll fall in love with Krishna like that. You know, and we see these people, I mean, you'll find them at Radhakund, but you'll find them in Christianity too, and you'll find them all over the place. You know, this particular silliness is not just the property of the Vaishnavas. It's in every religious group, you know. All right, let's love Jesus. You know, you see that also in the Western countries. So one problem is it can be imitated. What's the other problem? So Prabhu, tomorrow I'm going to ask everyone to give some presentation on each of the 9 mentioned in 18. So please come prepared with something. Thank you. What's the other problem?
Self-delusion.
Could be self-delusion, yeah. Another problem.
It doesn't soften the heart.
But if you're trying to judge whether someone's in bhava bhakti by whether they're crying or shivering, first of all, it can be imitated. Second of all, it can be... Suppose they're actually in bhava bhakti. Are they going to go around crying and shivering all the time?
No.
It gets what? What do they do with those feelings? They internalize them. They internalize them. Who here saw our drama at the Govardhan retreat of Jatila last year? Who saw that drama? You saw it? You can see it on the internet. So it's interesting. I was Jatila and my daughter was Krishna. Anyway, some interesting things with that. So when I was in the play, I was very absorbed in being Jatila, and I didn't really have any sense at all as to what Krishna was experiencing. But afterwards, my daughter and I were talking, and she was telling me, oh, when I was Krishna, I was feeling this, and I was feeling that, and I was feeling this. And when I watched the video, it's quite interesting because Radharani is suffering separation from Krishna because Dutila won't let her cook for Krishna anymore. And when Krishna, who's in disguise, comes and sees Radharani fainting in separation, if you look closely in the video, you'll see it. And my daughter's expert in Bharatanatyam, so she really is good at how to display the expressions. But when Krishna comes and looks at Radharani, who's sick in separation, you know, she's agony on Krishna's face, but he's not supposed to be Krishna. He's supposed to be a female snake doctor. So Krishna can't act like he's distressed about Radharani. So you see him going, you know, and he hides it. Or it's also interesting when Jatila invites Krishna into her home. You know, so Jatila is saying to Krishna, come into my home, come into my home. So Krishna thinks that's very funny, that Jatila is asking to come into my home. So Krishna is looking at Gargi and going, but Jatila then, you know, very sober. So we'll take more sweets and savories and anything else you want to give us, Prabhu. You can finance a whole feast if you like. Yeah. So my point is that, you know, we do this, right? We have some emotion and we internalize it. We take that and we're maybe still feeling it, but we try not to show it so much. So this is why it's very hard to tell who's in bhava. First of all, you can fake it. You go to acting school and you can fake it. Second of all, if you're the real thing, you may not show it all the time. Generally, you're not going to. Sometimes it comes out, you can't help it. Sometimes Prabhupada would be talking and he would just start to cry or he'd become stunned. But that was unusual. That wasn't common. So what are you going to do? How are you going to tell what is real bhava? So we have this list, which we're not going to go over in depth today. We're just going to go over it briefly. So our list of 9 items, and you should know these 9 items. Yes.
Like the symptom is, I guess, also if you're in bhava, that is your taste for service and your taste for chanting Hare Krishna is also very much increased.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that you become stunned and you can't do anything.
That might happen. If you're in internal meditation, that might happen. Like Vijay and Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Mahaprabhu put his hand on Vijay. And Vijay saw actually Krishna's hand. And he became stunned. For 7 days he didn't eat, sleep, or speak. And when he first went into this ecstasy, Mahaprabhu said, oh, this is because Vijay is worshipping the Ganga. So the Ganga's very... And the devotees were there, like, yeah, right, sure. Of course we know what's actually going on here. But that may be. That may be. So these are the other 9 symptoms by which you can tell someone's in bhava. They don't waste a moment. Always busy in Krishna's service. Prabhupada said the no-gap philosophy. There's no bhogatyaga. There's no, okay, now I've done some service, now I need a break. Now I've done some service, now I need some sense gratification time. Perseverance. Perseverance means there's disturbance, there's disease, there's criticism, there's whatever, and you're not disturbed. You go on in your service. Detachment, Prabhupada says, the neophyte may have to remove themselves from the object of attachment, but for one in bhava, they can be with their objects of attachment and they're not disturbed. So the neophyte may have to get the chocolate cake out of the house and the cigarettes out of the house, and you know, but for one in bhava, it doesn't matter. They're not disturbed, like Haridas Thakur. You know, the prostitute comes, he's not disturbed. Pridelessness, they don't think, oh, I'm a great devotee. They're seeing how merciful Krishna is and how fallen they are, and they're just saying, this is the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Great hope is, I'm fallen, there's no way I could ever attain Krishna, it's impossible, but yet Krishna is so kind. So they're convinced that if I keep going on, Krishna will deliver me, although I don't deserve it. Eagerness for achieving the desired success. I want it. It's all I'm thinking about. It's all I'm dreaming of. I'd never give up. It's what I want. Attachment to chanting the holy name of the Lord. Great taste in chanting. Great eagerness to describe Krishna's qualities. Always wanting to talk about Krishna. Always wanting to hear about Krishna's qualities. And liking to live in the holy dham. Having an attachment to the holy dham. So these are the things that one should see in others or in oneself as much more clear than just, oh, they're crying. You know. In crying, also, Prabhupada tells a story about some man. He was listening to Krishna Katha, and he was crying. And someone said, oh, why are you crying? He said, oh, when I hear the name of Radha, I remember the barber's wife named Radha and how much I love her and wish that she were mine. You know, so I'm crying. So maybe someone's sitting in the temple room doing the kirtan and they're just thinking, oh, I lost so much money in the stock market. And they're crying. And you're thinking, oh, this person must be a bhava. So those other things you should be seeing. So I want each one of you to pick one of these nine and read about it in chapter 18. And you come tomorrow, I'm going to go through all these questions quickly. You come tomorrow, or maybe we'll do these questions tomorrow. I want you to come tomorrow with something that you've prepared. Maybe we'll work on this now, and I'll answer these questions first thing tomorrow. I think that would be better. So why don't we do that now? Everyone look at the list, and you have the list, and we'll do these questions first thing tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll do the questions. I'll go over your questions first thing. Then you'll give your presentation. And then we're going to have the special thing at 4:30 on sex desire, to which you're welcome to invite your friends. So let's look at the list. Okay, list is on page 135. If you can decide which one you would like to do a presentation on. And I'd like everyone to stay here, please, until 4:30. I am not excusing you from class early. I'd like you to spend the next 20 minutes of the class picking one of these and working on a presentation. And you can do it as I always do. You can do it on your own. You can do it with one other person. You can do it with three or four or five or six other people, not more than five or six. You can do any kind of presentation you want. You can draw something on the flip chart if we can get some blank pieces of paper on it. You can draw something on the board. You can have a handout that you have copied. You can sing a song. If you have like one of the songs of the Acharyas that you feel really exemplifies one of these nine, you can bring that song and you can teach us a song. You can write a poem. You can do a little drama. You can do a little interactive teaching. Figure you're not going to have more than about 5 minutes, though. 5 or 10 minutes per person, whatever you're going to do. So whichever one of these you pick, your job is to teach the rest of the class. So you want to teach the rest of the class, what does this mean? What does this look like? What does this feel like? Is that clear to everybody? And of course, according to our norms, you are allowed to not participate. But I will tell you that the best way to learn anything is to teach it. If you teach something, you will learn it 100 times more than any other way. So if you really want to learn this, then I'm begging you to please be part of this program. So please, everyone stay here until 4:30. Please do not leave early. And you've got now 17 minutes to work on this. Before you leave at 4:30, please come up and tell me which one of these you're doing so that I can know if one of them's not being taken, then I'll take responsibility for that. All right? So please work on that now. You can work on it alone, you can work on it with a partner, in a group, whatever you like.